Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Tea Time with Cassia Marina. And I am Cassia Marina, your host. And on today's episode, I'm going to share with you a bit of behind the scenes and what my experience was like, and basically my takeaways of having the opportunity to job shadow Pollyanna Reed, who is a senior contributor at Forbes, amongst many other amazing things, which I will link to all of the links, right? And even the link to watch the replay of this talk that she did internally at Google. So this was not something that you could have accessed or signed up for. So it was exclusive, and, you know, there were 10 people that were chosen to be able to job shadow Pollyanna. Now, let's start from the beginning, right? So I just introduced and let you all know what this episode is about. You know, you would have read the title and be like, some of you may know Pollyanna, some of you may not, right? So let me just dive into a bit about Pollyanna and her work with mentorship. Right, she's huge and big on giving back to her community, and this is where, like, I would say she opened up the opportunity to have 10 women raise their hand and have the opportunity to be chosen to job shadow her and experience things firsthand. Right, like, yes, we have school and we have all of this textbook education, but there is nothing like just being immersed in it, right? And I absolutely am a firm believer of that, because as much as I went to a local community college, which is Costat, to learn graphic design, honestly, I had already been there, done that, because I used to model, one, and my hairdresser at the time had this gig where they were looking for models for a local bank ad. So I went. But while I was waiting on something, I was there with the owner of the ad agency. He asked me a couple of questions about myself, what I hope to do, etc., etc. Long story short, he found out that I studied art in high school, did it for CXC, did well, etc., etc., shared how I wanted to get into graphic design, but I didn't have the opportunity and the avenue to do so. And so that is actually where my career began, through mentorship. So mentorship is powerful. Being able to have the opportunity to experience things firsthand is life-changing for others. So, of course, I had to raise my hand and, you know, tell I'm interested. And one of the requirements was to send an email to say, like, why? Why do you want to do this? And that was easy because of my experience with just having the opportunity to be in spaces to learn firsthand. So when, you know, I spoke to the founder of this agency, he told me, well, hey, you're interested in graphic design. I'm looking to train someone because, you know, he's getting older and he doesn't want to be on the computer as much as he is used to. And I could definitely relate to that, right? But he told me, like, hey, if you're willing, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come here twice a week, every week, to learn the tools that you need to learn in an agency. And of course, I'm learning the tools, but now I'm actually learning, like, what a real life ad agency environment is like. So, like, I was well seasoned by the time Costat came out with their graphic design degree, and, you know, they emphasized, like, this path isn't for you. I didn't say it wasn't for you, but they emphasized the importance of, like, it's a fast, quick-paced life, like, there are lots of deadlines and you have to, like, be ready to roll with it at any point in time. And I was like, well, yeah, I know about that life. So it's like, it's different when you've already been there, done that, versus just hearing about it in the classroom, because I felt fully prepared. And honestly, not to, like, downplay traditional education, but I didn't actually learn anything new. I was honestly there for that piece of paper. That's why I was there. But anyway, So getting into being able to do that. So I raised my hand, he sent anything, and I just, put it out into the universe. And I forgot about it because I did get feedback from Pollyanna saying, okay, well, she's going through all of the applications and we'll reach out to those who were selected. Right? This is one of the things that I love about non-local things is that they actually give you feedback. All right? So I just feel like in the Trinidad and Tobago space, and I don't even want to use that broad with Caribbean because, like, I don't really know how things are in other parts of the Caribbean, but I could speak to Trinidad and Tobago, and the fact is, people are very non-responsive. Unless it's a yes, you don't get feedback. They don't actually tell you, well, no, but we liked this, or you could work on that. Like, you don't get feedback. And I feel like we miss a huge opportunity and we're actually underserved when we don't give people feedback. But hey, I digress. That's a topic for another day. But reeling it back in, getting that feedback, knowing, okay, they're going through whatever, whatever. I moved on. When I say moved on, like, I'm not just, thinking about it, thinking about it. That's what I mean. Like, I just went on with my work week as usual. And then to wake up first thing Monday morning to see the email just telling you, okay, well, the talk at Google tomorrow, and this is the guidelines, expect an email from the host who's hosting it, etc., etc. And I was like, oh, I was selected. And to get that, first thing Monday morning at the start of your week was such a huge pick me up. And then to look, I mean, I actually forgot. It didn't really resonate. I wouldn't say resonate. It didn't really click that this Google talk was on my birthday. Like, I knew subconsciously, but I so was not focused on my birthday. Like, I saw the date was the 20th when she put out this call for persons who are interested in job shadowing her. Like, I saw the date, like, and I knew that was my birthday, but it didn't really click. But it really clicked that morning when it's like, oh, tomorrow's my birthday. What a treat for my birthday. So I felt like that was such like a gift from the universe that, hey, here's your opportunity to follow such a prominent person in the entrepreneurial online space. So first off, one of my first feedback is, on our journey, we always have hit these moments of doubt or discouragement where we second guess ourselves and we're like, oh, should I keep going or should I like reevaluate? I mean, and it's nothing major, it's just there's that quiet voice of like, oh, it's tiring. Like running your race, you do get tired on the journey. It's like it's a marathon, right? As they say, as cliche as it sounds, it's a marathon. And along the marathon, you sometimes have to like pause, put your hands on your knees, and breathe and take a drink of water. And naturally, that thought comes like, oh God, I could just like lay down right here and just not finish the race, right? But those are just moments on the journey where you're really pausing, like you're not gonna actually lay down and give up. So that was just like that drink of water for me to get that email to be like, okay, you were chosen and come on. So moving along into my takeaways. So we got the email by the end of the day outlining all of the do's and don'ts, what we can't do. And one of those things is that we couldn't like publish it, talk about it or anything like that, which is why, you're hearing this when you're hearing this. And I'm recording this the day after, and I haven't posted anything on my social media about it, but I did document it. So by the time you listen to this, you might have seen my stories where I share like a clip, right? So let's get into my takeaways, right? So one of my first takeaways is I can't remember exactly what the questions were, but I'm glancing at my bullet points. So one of my first things was when Pollyanna and Mallory said that they always get nervous for these things, as much as they might be seasoned, public speakers and they love it, they always get nervous. And I'm a person who it's so funny. I don't want to say hate public speaking, but I know in my early 20s, in high school, everything, like, you couldn't get me to talk in front of a crowd. That is my biggest nightmare. And to this day, that is actually still an underlying nightmare, even though I've hosted workshops. So when I do host a workshop or I have to speak at anything, it's always so thrilling to me, because for me, it's not about the glitz and the glamour of, oh, I am speaking at this event. It literally is for me a personal development win. Every time I have the opportunity to speak, whether it's my own thing or what, I just come away feeling growth and just proud of myself. So that was one of my first takeaways, that even the greats get nervous no matter how seasoned that they are. And they're just regular, ordinary people. And they also mentioned that don't ever be intimidated by big names. That was a takeaway lower down in the talk. But yeah, don't be intimidated by people, and I'll come back to that. Right? One of the things Mallory said that was so relatable is where she said, for every public speaking prior event, she listens to the same song. And honestly, I do that too, even to go live. I know I look super chill when I go live, but if I'm not like going live really often, and you know, there are like gaps in between, I do get a bit nervous when I actually tell my audience, hey, I'm going live at this time. Like, my thing that hypes me up is Drake. Right, I think people who follow me know Drake is my thing, and Drake just somehow also gets my creative juices going when I'm working on client work. So I just open up YouTube, find a Drake playlist, and the work gets done. Right, so thank you to Drake. He is fulfilling a huge purpose in life that he probably doesn't realize. Right. So yeah, one of my bullet points here is they're human and normal, the people who always are so confident all the time. Oh, so what I was saying here is that they get nervous. And then there are some people who seem like they never get nervous. They're always pumped, they're hype, and that's great for them. And this is no shade to anyone or anything, but if I had to keep it real, this is tea time. I worry about those people because to me, a little bit of nervousness is like normal, you know? So the people who don't feel a bit nervous, I just kind of worry about them. Not worry, but you know what I mean? It's just like, that is not normal, and they worry me, for lack of a better term. Like, they're always confident, they're always hyped, they're always ready. And there's a term that I want to use, but I don't want to throw any shade, so I'm just going to leave that at that, right? So let's normalize people being human and people being nervous, right? One of the things that Mallory started the talk with, or her question was like, Pollyanna, tell me a bit about your roots, because they believe in understanding people's roots because it tells you a lot about their story. Now, that wasn't her words, but she said it tells you a lot about the way people show up. And I had to make a note of that because it's so true. Like, why do you do what you do? Like, we always have to ask ourselves in business. There's so many books on your why, and so many talks. Even I say, like, you have to know your why. Like, people always ask, what's the first step to branding your business? And, or what's the first step to so many different things? And your why is such a big part of the beginning stages of building something, right? Whether that's the first thing or the second thing, it's always in the beginning, your why. So that, I really like that she mentioned that, because it's true. It ties back to your story. And big, I wouldn't say big brands, but influential brands always have a story. And when I say brands, I don't just mean like Nike and Starbucks. I mean like anybody who's influential. They're driven by like a strong purpose, which is driven by their why, which is driven by the path that they have walked, which I actually plan to get into very soon. I actually shouldn't say very soon, but soon, right? I plan to get into even my why a little bit deeper as I go to therapy, as I really explore and do that shadow work around my past, my history, and, you know, just my life and the way things have affected me, you know, growing up, where I was raised, like all of those things, really, we really underestimate our path and our walk in life. So that one was one of my takeaways, because people's roots, their backstory says a lot. And I think this is why humans naturally gravitate to storytelling, because it allows you to connect with people on a deeper level. And rightfully so, like your path, your journey is so important. And I think we really do underestimate it. And we try to like put forward this glossy, put together version of ourselves, which it has its time and its place, but some of us do it to a fault, and we're so afraid to be authentic and vulnerable, etc., etc. And we could do with just injecting a little bit of our story into that. My goodness, it's 16 minutes into this episode and I'm just scratching the surface. So let me just take a moment to just skim through these bullet points and just pull out the main things. Okay, so I'm back. So let me just ground this episode by starting with my two biggest takeaways. So one of the questions post job shadowing experience, Pollyanna asked me what I thought about the delivery, anything to, you know, she's open to constructive feedback, and what was my biggest takeaway. So I will start with that. So first off, I felt like the delivery was wonderful, as always. I loved how Pollyanna and Mallory had like a chemistry. They had like genuine, like they seemed like they knew each other, right? And it's always such good vibes and good energy when you could just hit it off and have that natural, organic interview or talk, because sometimes some talks could actually be stiff, and it has nothing to do with the fact that you don't have authentic energy and vibes. Sometimes his space just isn't giving what it needs to give, right? So I love how it just was just so organic. It was just so natural. It was just like cool, chill talk, very professional, but it was just so authentic. It was real, it was transparent. And I mean, at the end of the day, this is Pollyanna, but again, the space, the conversation, I think it was such a good fit, both Mallory and Pollyanna. Like, you have to also have the right host, you know, you have to have the right moderator, or else it could be awkward, right? So I love the authenticity, and I loved when that type of environment is created. I also love the fact that they did dive into mental health a lot. And y'all know how I feel about mental health. It's gotten, you know, a couple spaces to air mental health. You guys hear me talk about it on the podcast and on my platform, on Instagram. I'm not shy at all about being passionate about mental health. So much so that even on like my personal like / blog page on Instagram, I have in my bio mental health advocate, right? So yeah, I'm big on mental health, and I really love always hearing Pollyanna talk about her story on depression, because you look at someone like her who is a beast at what she does, and she takes on so much in my opinion, that I'm always amazed, like, how does she do it? I would never think that she would have had a previous story with depression, because it can really mess up the way that you show up sometimes. So I always love hearing her tell that part of her story. I never get tired of it. And I mean, I really do appreciate her sharing that even on a platform like Google, because it's one thing to talk about that and share that on your platform, but it's a completely different thing when you share that on another person's platform and on a bigger scale, because, I mean, come on, in the corporate world, it is very performative at times when these companies talk about mental health, you know, and not just corporate, but just any big platform, whether it's entrepreneurship, wherever, whatever the case may be, like, it's always this go, 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 you gotta do this, you gotta make this happen. But what about just simply taking care of ourselves, you know? So one of the things that I really appreciated about the topic of mental health, and one piece of advice that she shared, is that going into, let's say, a position or any type of job, whether it's working with a client or running your own business or, you know, interviewing for a position, whatever new working relationship that you're going into, I mean, she phrased it from the perspective of a new job. So let's continue with that. She said you have to have your non-negotiables as an individual, as, you know, you pursue and you do things and you achieve and you go after your dreams, whatever that looks like for you. She said you have to have your non-negotiables. And for her, her thing that she mentioned is that she was very transparent about letting them know in an interview that, hey, I'm dedicated to the job, but please know that my life outside of work is a non-negotiable, right? I love that, because many of us are so scared to really, like, let people know what our non-negotiables are, that there is a limit to me. And the lesson in that, like, we see it on TikTok, like, oh, what is this? What is the biggest lesson that a job has taught you? And we see all of these things where it's the fact that really and truly we're disposable at any moment. And we give so much to these companies and we get so caught up in this, for lack of a better term, brainwashing, that, oh, you have to be so dedicated and you have to prove yourself over and over. And we hear this messaging, which honestly isn't true. I think it's becoming more and more known that it's a popularity contest and you advance based on know, like, and trust. Just like entrepreneurship, you get the job based on know, like, and trust factor. It doesn't matter. Like, yes, you have to be dedicated and a hard worker, but take that with stride, right? I don't know how best I want to say that, but the point is, like, don't get so overly caught up in proving yourself, you know, lack of a better way to put that across, but, you know, like, do your work, do your best job, but have boundaries. I think, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, yeah, all of those things are correct, but also have boundaries as well. And she mentioned that regardless of what you're proving, I mean, you're pursuing or whatever your dreams, goals, aspirations are, that those things don't define your worth. It doesn't define who you are as an individual. And you really do need to have an identity outside of work. And that was one of my biggest lessons in 2020. So that one was really a huge takeaway, because especially when you're building a personal brand, it's so easy for the lines to get blurred. But outside of who you are as what you do, like, you are a person, you are an individual, you are not what you do, you are not your job title, you are not, you know, the boss babe or the CEO. Like, that is not the only facet to your personality and who you are. What are your hobbies? Who are your friends outside of entrepreneurship? Because we really do get so caught up in all of this business bestie, and, you know, that's, like, it's good to have relationships, build relationships, etc., but we really need to take a step back and ask yourself, who are my friends outside of entrepreneurship? There's nothing wrong with having besties, there's nothing wrong with having friends and, you know, big brothers in business, you know, for the men, and people that you look up to and people who have your back. Like, nothing is wrong with that. But you have to really sometimes stop and ask yourself, which I had to ask myself, is this really is this just business, like a business friend, or is this just someone, or does the relationship go deeper than that? And if it doesn't go deeper than that, that's fine. But then ask yourself, where are my friends where I have like that deeper life connection with, that you spend time together that has nothing to do with business, that they're there for special occasions and the holidays and birthdays, and you will actually live life that has nothing, or the conversation has nothing to do with work. Maybe not nothing, because, you know, we love what we do, you know, but just always like be mindful of that. And that was another huge takeaway of mine, because of what she said, like, that was one of my lessons in 2020. And actually, it was a lesson since 2018, 2019. But I had to repeatedly kind of make the same mistake over and over, because it wasn't a lesson that was actually knocking at my door time and time again. And it wasn't until 2020 I got it. I was like, oh, right? Say, oh. So, So yeah, that was one of my second biggest takeaways, that you have to have an identity outside of business for so many different reasons, from the associates, friendships, connections, etc., from that perspective, and even from the giving too much to your job or giving too much of yourself in client relationships where you're working into the wee hours of the morning, you're not getting sleep, you're not spending time with your family. Like, boundaries are so super important. And again, if you've been with me for a while, you've been following me on Instagram and consuming this podcast, you know that like boundaries is a huge theme for me this year. I think that is my theme this year. For those of you who know, I theme my years. Like, you know how people have all of these New Year's resolutions, I like to reflect at the end of the year, going into the beginning of the year, and I tend to feel aligned to a particular word, and it just comes to me like, what's the theme for this year? And the theme for this year, I hadn't actually settled on it, but boundaries keep coming up. So yeah, boundaries, right? So that was another big takeaway, like, have life outside of it, because she said one thing she was very clear on is the fact that she would see like these huge executives or people in prominent positions that one day lost it, and then they just didn't know who they were outside of that job. So huge tip, don't be afraid to let them know in the interview that, hey, I'm a dedicated worker, all of the BS, not BS, but blah, blah, blah. But amongst all of that typical conversation, be transparent, like, hey, I have kids and I will be clocking out at the end of the workday. There will maybe be, if this feel aligned to you, if I feel like I want to work extra hours, I'm definitely committed to the job. But please know that, you know, you're not going to work me to death, right? I have a life outside of this job as well. Well, obviously not in those words, but it's okay to let them know, like, this is a non-negotiable. And if you don't, if that's not well received, then straight off the gate, like, that's not the job for you. That's not the collaboration for you. That's not the client for you. Like, we always see these red flags when it comes to onboarding new clients, where it's like they just say certain things that just doesn't sit right, where they ask some kind of weird questions, and you come across that in job interviews as well. They ask you some weird questions and it makes you take a double take. And I think it's important, and it's okay to nip that in the bud. Like, we should never be so desperate for anything that we just ignore the red flags, or we're not authentic with communicating, like, hey, this is who I am, this is my non-negotiables, and I want this job, but I also, you know, would like to be these are my boundaries, all right? So Moving on, what were my other takeaways? Let me just skim through these bullet points. Right, so she made sure to make an identity outside of the job title. She made it clear in interviews she will have a life outside of work. Speak up and take up space. So this is another one that I absolutely love. So take up space. So we tend to come into, like, when we do have the opportunities to sit in spaces or be in the room of prominent people or have conversations with prominent people, those titles make us so nervous to the point where we feel to, like, you know, and we mess it up because we get so intimidated by the titles. And that's one of my bullet points here, right? Don't be intimidated by the title. So I'm going to, like, tie that into this point of taking up space. Like, if you have the opportunity to be in the room because, like, you're a guest or your job shadowing or whatever the reason is that you get to be in the room due to, you know, maybe another connection or whatever the case may be, don't be afraid to have your voice be heard. It's okay to raise your hand. So here's an example of that, right? So another one of my bullet points is, another one of my huge takeaways actually, that I have to say it in order to tie it in with take up space, because it's two sides to one coin. So another one of my biggest takeaways that I mentioned, is the biggest revenge is living your life. And I'm actually going to make that a quotable, right? And put that on Instagram. The biggest revenge is living your life. And she prefaced, before that, she said that, she said, one thing about her is that she's never waiting for external validation because her work speaks for itself. Do excellent work, do great work. Because it's so funny that I woke up on Monday and I was thinking about some things. And I was thinking about myself, you know what, Cassia, no matter what, how much people might not be giving the credit where the credit is due, you credit yourself. You put it out there. We have social media at our disposal. So I'm going to put that out there. I'm going to do my thing and put my work out there. I know that sounds funny because I'm constantly putting my work out there, but I knew what I was referring to. Like, don't hide certain aspects of yourself. And I had that epiphany Monday morning before this talk at Google that I had the opportunity to sit in at. And it, again, it's so much aligned messaging that I had this epiphany on the Monday. I was like, you know what, Cassia, there's one thing, no matter what, that people can say they can do what they want, but the work speaks for itself. So you have to brag on yourself. You can't wait on others to do that for you, right? And the thing about it is, that is what taking up space is. Yes, you do excellent work. So often we get so comfortable on our laurels that we come into entrepreneurship or we come into whatever we're coming into and we do all of this excellent work and we just hope people will notice the excellent work. No, like, you have to do great work, but you also have to brag about it and let people know, and you have to speak up. So she went on to say, you know, the work speaks for itself. Like, I do great work and the best revenge is living your life. And I had to, like, I jot that down immediately and put it in air quotes and I put dash Pollyanna Reed. Like, you don't need that validation. Your work speaks for itself. So the two sides of the coin is, do excellent work that no one can deny that it's great work, but you also have to take up space for the work. So do the great work, but then take up space and brag on yourself. Let people know what you're about. Let people know what you do. Constantly put that out there. Raise your hand for opportunities. So an example of doing the work is, I did the work, right? Pollyanna is familiar with me and what I do and my portfolio. So if I didn't show up for myself and do great work, she would know about that great work. Then the raising my hand, taking up space is, I follow her on Instagram. I looked at her stories. She put out this call for people, hey, if you're interested, raise your hand. I know Pollyanna's big on raising your hand, right? So it's like, okay, Cassia, you're going to raise your hand. So I emailed her and let her know, hey, what do I need to do next? She's like, well, just send me an email. Let me know why this opportunity. Okay, I did it. I did it. That is, to me, that is what taking up space is. It's raising your hands for opportunities. And even if there aren't opportunities, when you get the opportunity to be in the room and you have access to people, speak up. You know, you might be in a space where it really had nothing to do with you, but you're there to do a job. But if you feel like you have something that you want to add to the conversation and you want to interject, don't be afraid to raise your hand literally and be like, I heard you guys were speaking about X, Y, or Z, but here are my thoughts if you all don't mind hearing. You know, like, you have to find a way to obviously interject politely. So, like, taking up space does not have to mean disrupting. I mean, in some cases, you know, you can be a disruptor, but in a positive way. It's not what you do, but it's how you do it. So yeah, take up space. So if you're listening to this and this is resonating somehow, I just want to say to you that whatever is going on in your world, just take up space. Don't be afraid to. And it's oh my God, I'm enjoying this conversation right now. I'm enjoying this whole take up space thing because I love that phrase. I love that phrase because, okay, when sometime I was on this subway train back in 2019 with my mom, and you know, just, you know, the culture differences are different. And I love travel for this reason, because you just get to experience the little nuances. Like, it's just something that you can't tell people. You just have to experience it. So we're on the subway train, and my mom nudges me and she's like, look at that man over there, right? It's a white man. And it's like, you see them? They'll never sit down. they'll never stand up and give someone a seat on the train. They take up space. So she told me, when you're on the train, don't shrink yourself to make space for them, or do just like the white people. Take up space. Just loved the analogy because she was right. As simple as it was, like, we're talking about a seat on the subway, but she went deeper with it. And she didn't go deeper with it. I took it deeper, but I know where she was coming from at the same time. I'm pretty sure she was going deeper, and she was like, take up space. So now I have this attitude, like, when I go on the train, it's like, well, yeah, I'm going to sit down and take up space. You're not going to squeeze me up, okay? So you have to bring that same energy to entrepreneurship and life, and like whatever it is that you want in life, you just really have to have the same energy, right? I was on this podcast episode, it's called White Girl Energy. So it's like, yeah, white girl energy, white people energy. Some people might be offended by that, but you get what I'm saying. As a person of color, like, oh, why do we have to associate taking up space as something only white people do? Again, no offense to anyone. You all know what I mean and where I'm coming from, right? That don't shrink. That's just the point. Like, just don't shrink. Black excellence, Caribbean excellence, right? Take up space. Because bet your bottom dollar, other people will take up space. All right? So, raise your hand and position yourself for, I don't want to use the word opportunity again, but position yourself to be in the room. You know, I could have stayed quiet and didn't send the email and looked at that and be like, okay, I'm going to send the email, and then shrink and be like, maybe I don't need to do that. It's not that important. Oh, it's virtual. You're not really in the room, and talk yourself out of it, or find some other reason to talk yourself out of it. Like, oh, I'll never get chosen. Listen, I have had that kind of mindset for far too long that I just switched mindset a couple years ago, where I'm mad that I didn't at least try. Like, it doesn't hurt to try, because if you don't try, you're never going to be in the race. So it's better to try and fail and not to try at all. So now I'm just like, for me, it's such a huge win when I actually try. And I just feel so proud of myself when I put myself out there for things, even if I don't get it, because it's strengthening a muscle for me personally on my road to self-development. And I encourage you to do the same. If you are shy and you shy away from things and you shy away from opportunities that you know you want to be in the race for, in the running for, the only way to do that is to join the race. Like, it's as simple as that. And another one of the things that she said is, so someone asked the question, you know, something about life assignment versus purpose, like, how do you find it? And she, her answer was, play in traffic, get involved. Well, this is me making my notes. So she was like, play in traffic. And what that meant to me was to get involved, do things, live life, try on different things. Like, that's how you find out what's your purpose and life assignment. Like, the only way to make progress is to do things. And sometimes you really have to take that first step forward. And I'm saying this and I'm actually really talking to myself. It's some things in my personal life that I really need to, like, take action on. And it's, like, super scary. But you can't see the entire plan. Sometimes we want to see the entire plan before we make a move. But sometimes you really have to take that risk of the first step that you could only see as far as two steps. And you don't know what step 3 and 4 is going to look like. But you're not going to see step 3 and 4 until you make step 1 and 2. And when you reach 2, then 3 and 4 is revealed to you, and so forth and so forth. So it's a tough lesson even for myself. So that is another one of my takeaways here. So another thing that was a takeaway is, don't be intimidated by titles. You're here to solve problems. So I could also tie that back into this. So when I first started going live, we always get so caught up on the nervousness of, like, oh, people this, or what people are saying, or if I make a mistake, or we focus on the wrong things. And how I actually got over my fear of going live, and I would say what gets me through public speaking whenever I do those, is just focus on your message. Focus on what you're here to talk about. What you're here to talk about is something that you're passionate about. Latch on to that passion. And when you focus on that, it just becomes so much easier. You start to just get engrossed in what you're talking about and you just go with it. So at that point in the talk was, don't be intimidated by titles. You're here to solve a problem. So, like, just like the taking up space, like, if you're in the room, it's okay to raise your hand, because why are you raising your hand? You're not raising your hand just for raising your hand's sake. You're raising your hand because you have something to contribute, and people are going to appreciate it when you're trying to bring value to the table. It's just like going live. You're here to bring value to other people's lives. You're here to solve a problem. So one of those pieces of advice was, don't be intimidated by titles. You're here to solve problems. Just focus on the problem that you solved. All right, I have more, honestly, I have more takeaways, but I feel I want to end there. I want to, you know, really wrap up this podcast episode with that, because there's so much more that I could dive into, but I want to keep the rest for myself. But I am linking the replay. It's published now on Pollyanna's YouTube channel, and I'll link that in the show notes. So you have the opportunity to watch the entire talk yourself and have your own takeaways. The other takeaways is more for me personally, for myself, to pocket on my journey, and I want to give you all the opportunity to watch it, have your own takeaways that you can journal about and pocket for yourself, right? with due time, like the other takeaway that I'm looking at here is really for me to put certain things to action. And instead of hearing about the takeaway, I would like you guys to experience it as I execute. So yeah, that is what it was like. Job shadowing Pollyanna Reed, and I just really want to say that I am officially a huge fan of Pollyanna since I had my first conversation with her. I think was the I can't remember when we had that conversation. It was either the end of the year 2020 or it was smack dab at the beginning. Oh, I remember. It was December. And she's such a genuine, kind, loving soul. And, you know, I'm so jaded now by people and their intentions. And people are just so self-serving in this world and in this, you know. And it's not just that they're self-serving. Like, people are people. Like, I don't want to demonize people. But, you know, the fact that people switch up on you. But Pollyanna genuinely cares about others. She just doesn't talk about it. She is about it. And the fact that she has this mentorship program and she really pours into her mentors. I would say Pollyanna thus far is the real deal. And it's an honor to know her and be able to connect with her and even create this memory with her on my birthday and being able to job shadow her. Like, there's nothing like being in the room and just, you know, just seeing how things are done and how she works the room virtually and all of that good stuff. So again, I just want to say thanks to Pollyanna for giving me that opportunity, and it was amazing. So like I said, you can connect with Pollyanna on all of the places, pollyanna.com. I will link in the show notes to anything else that I think is relevant, so definitely go check those links out and go follow her on Instagram. All right, so I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Definitely share it with a friend, and you know, if you are able to leave a review, because I realized that not everyone can leave reviews based on their device and the podcasting app that they use, I would greatly appreciate if you could leave a review or share this on your platform, whatever you feel inclined to do. And if not, that's fine as well. Like, I appreciate everyone for tuning in and listening and just being here with me on my journey. So I will talk to you guys again on the next episode of Tea Time, the podcast.